I remember when Brother Mark was a young lad, he used to actually come here to Sunday school with his sister. And I don't think he knows, but I was the first brother to give him an exhortation when he was received in at Lowry. So it's good to have you back. Obviously, he's matured since since Sunday school, but so have I. So Brother Mark, I look forward to you for his exhortation.
Brother David's obviously got a very good memory. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's nice to be with you here again. I'd like us to start in Matthew's Gospel, please, in Matthew chapter 2. And we're at the start of, or early period of our Lord's life. And we know the story well, don't we, that he was born in Bethlehem, and then he was taken down to Egypt because of the persecution of Herod. And then we're simply told in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 2 that he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, there's quite a bit of speculation with regards to this verse as to what the quote in the prophets is, because you'd be hard-pressed to find a direct quote from the Old Testament which fulfills this verse. Tyndale suggested that it should be rendered that he should be called a Nazarite, but that doesn't fit, does it? It doesn't fit the context because it's called the city of Nazareth, and we know that Jesus wasn't a Nazarite, not least the partaking of wine. But it has been suggested that the word Nazareth, it means to separate. And it's speculated that it's from the Hebrew word netzer, which means branch. And sometimes Nazareth was referred to as the branch town. And it's with that in mind that there is a suggestion that the fulfillment of the quotes here, spoken by the prophets, that he shall be called a Nazarene from this branch town, was from our middle reading in Isaiah chapter 11. Let's go back there. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Because in this this wonderful prophecy in Isaiah chapter 11, we have, through the prophetic words, some wonderful thoughts about our Lord and Master. And we're going to try and build on that and think about those this morning by way of exhortation. So we're reading verse 1 of Isaiah 11. It says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And there the word branch, the Hebrew word netzer, suggesting this connection with Nazareth. And this verse is very much highlighting the lineage of our Lord, isn't it? It's the root that he's a descendant of King David. And as a result of that, our Lord and Master can rightly claim the throne that was promised to him, the throne of his father, David. But of course, what's interesting about this verse is that it doesn't mention David. It's there by inference, because we know that David was, of course, Jesse's son. But it doesn't mention David. It mentions Jesse, the father of David. That's rather curious, isn't it, to have the focus as Jesse, the father of David, back to his root, and then from Jesse would come the branch. See, we don't know a great deal about Jesse. We know that he had all of those sons, and of course David being one of them that was chosen to be king of Israel. He was from very humble beginnings, from what we can gather about him. He wasn't the king, of course, that was given to David. It wasn't like Jesse was the king and then it was inherited to David. The kingship started with David, and yet it goes back here to Jesse. I'll keep a marker in Isaiah 11 and come with me to the New Testament, to Romans and chapter 15, because the Apostle Paul highlights this for us when he quotes back to this chapter 11 of Isaiah. But I want you to note the focus that is given for us here. In Romans 15. We're going to start in verse 9. And it says, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Now, it's very obvious from those verses that the focus here is the Gentiles, isn't it? It's to you and me, brothers and sisters, those of us who cannot claim the lineage of the Jews by natural descent, but we are brought into the hope of Israel through adoption. And we've got this focus again with Jesse and this link to the Gentiles. And I wonder if it's getting us to think about the family of Jesse, because there is a link, isn't there, between the family of Jesse and the Gentiles. We won't turn to the passage, I'm sure you'll remember it. If you looked at the genealogies of Jesse, Jesse's father was Obed, that his grandfather was Boaz of Ruth, and his great-grandfather was Salmon, who married Rahab. And Rahab, of course, was that faithful Gentile woman as the children of Israel went into Jericho, and Rahab and her family were saved. So there's this connection then in the family of Jesse to a Gentile. There's perhaps another sense with the verses that we've been looking at, because there's also this focus of Jesus coming from Nazareth, that he lived there for much of his life. And you remember Nathanael in John chapter 1, when he was called to come and meet the Messiah. Nathanael's reaction was, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? See, these Galilee cities in the north, they were greatly despised, weren't they? They were not seen to be in the same league as the places like Jerusalem and so forth. It was that despised city, just like the Gentiles were despised by the Jews. And yet God has found something in all of us to call us to great and high things through his Son and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 11, because the verse that Paul is actually quoting in Isaiah chapter 11 is from verse 10, isn't it? And again, we have this connection. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, it says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to which shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So there's this seeking after this origins of Jesse, this ensign, this banner, this military term. And of course, we know this is taking our minds forward into the kingdom age. It's taking us forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that root of Jesse. And when Jesus returns, and when the Gentile nations realize what Jesus is about and what he's going to do in establishing God's kingdom on earth, then the Gentiles will seek to it, just as we have been called to seek unto that banner, to seek unto that ensign. And if we do that in our lives now, then we know that we have his rest, that we have the kingdom, don't we? We have that wonderful hope. And indeed, it shall be glorious. It'll be wonderful to see those things and to be reunited with our brethren and sisters who have fallen asleep in Christ and that we miss very dearly. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5, because this idea of Jesus being the root and the branch is, of course, brought out very clearly for us in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. And verse 5, we read, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And we remember, don't we, this morning, this lion of the tribe of Judah. That Jesus' genealogy takes him right back into the Old Testament, doesn't it? It takes him right back into the promises that were made concerning him. And we think of Jesus as the Alpha, don't we? We think of Jesus as the beginning of our faith. He's the root of David. And Jesus was the only one that was able to take hold of that book and unseal it. And all the prophecies that we have in the scriptures are fulfilled through him. And without that, we would have no hope. And we remember the very act of that fulfillment this morning, don't we? That Jesus gave his life for us, the fulfillment of all those prophecies. Let's go to the last chapter of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22, because of course this phrase is used again, and the fact that it's in some of the very last few verses of the scriptures shows the importance of it. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the ecclesias. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. So there we have the branch of David. And here the emphasis is on Jesus being the Omega, isn't it? Being the end of our faith. And we're looking forward to the end of our faith, aren't we? When Jesus returns to establish God's kingdom. So Jesus is both the root and he's the branch. He's the start and he is the end. And by extension then, brothers and sisters, that includes us, doesn't it? Because we would say that the Jews are the natural root, the natural Israel, those that had the promises. But we are the offspring. We, by extension, are part of that branch, that we are the wild olive tree that was grafted into the hope of Israel through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his work. What I'd like us to think about, just for a few moments, is to think about Jesus as the branch. We've seen it here in Revelation, read the prophecy in Isaiah. There are some wonderful prophecies concerning the branch that are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think in thinking about him as the branch in different aspects, that we can take some exhortation to ourselves as to how we should follow him, the sort of things that we should be doing in our lives following him. So the first one I'd like us to go to is in the prophecy of Zechariah and chapter 6. Because there are a series of prophecies about the branch that bring out these different aspects of the Lord Jesus. And in Zechariah chapter 6, we have one of those. And it's in verse 12 that we want to look at. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12, which says, And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them. I want you to note in this prophecy that the emphasis is that it's behold the man. Okay, so it's the man whose name is the branch. And it's important, isn't it, brothers and sisters, that we remember that although he was the Son of God, that Jesus was also a man. That he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And as a result of that, he became a faithful high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And when we think about Jesus as a man and as our priest, it gives us great comfort, doesn't it? Because Jesus experienced the same things that we do. Jesus knows our frame. He knows our failings. So whatever problems we have in life, whatever difficulties, whatever trials, whatever temptations, whatever things we've done which are wrong, that Jesus is able to have compassion on us because he's experienced the same thing. He didn't succumb to the same failings and weaknesses. But Jesus knows us, doesn't he? And Jesus is uniquely placed to be able to do that. And it's interesting that Jesus here, as the branch, the man, what's the commission here that the branch is to do? It says that he shall build the temple of the Lord. And we're part of that temple, aren't we, brothers and sisters? All of you here at Dudley Queen's Cross, at Lye, that we are all building blocks of that temple that Jesus has called us to be lively stones in that spiritual temple that he is building. And so we have to compare ourselves to the chief cornerstone, don't we? We are butted up to his building, that we're called to compare ourselves to our Lord and Master, to examine ourselves this morning as we think about him. So that's the branch who is the man. We'll come back a few chapters in Zechariah and come back to Zechariah chapter 3, because we get another branch prophecy here in Zechariah chapter 3. And it's verse 8. So Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch." And that's interesting, isn't it? That here the emphasis is on the servant. And before Jesus could become king, he had to be a servant, didn't he? And when we think about his ministry and we think about all the things that he did, it was a ministry of complete servitude, wasn't it? That whatever was needed of him according to his father's will, he did it. And the idea of Jesus as a servant, his servitude, his ministry, the things that he did for others, Jesus was very focused on imparting that same characteristic to his disciples. So we can think about the Last Supper, can't we? When Jesus took a bowl of water and he washed the disciples' feet. And he told them that as he, their master, washed their feet, so they should in turn wash each other's feet. So just as Jesus was that servant to those that he came in contact with, so we too have to carry on that same characteristic, don't we? That we have to be servants to each other, that we have to help each other, that where we see the need, be it visiting the old or the sick, or helping in the Sunday school, or preaching the word, whatever it is, that we should be servants to our Lord and Master, just as Jesus was a servant to perfection. Let's go back to Isaiah's prophecy, to Isaiah chapter 11, because we've seen these two characteristics. We've seen the branch as the man, we've seen the branch as the servant. And in Isaiah chapter 11, we get some wonderful words which describe the character of our Lord. Isaiah chapter 11, let's read verse 1 again. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." And we could perhaps spend quite a lot of time in looking at those characteristics, and we could think about how they related to the Lord Jesus Christ in his first ministry. So the spirit of the Lord resting upon him, well, that happened at his baptism, didn't it? When the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That Jesus demonstrated the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that he grew in favour with both God and man. That Jesus was the Word made flesh. He was the embodiment of what he had learned. The spirit of counsel and might. King Solomon was revered for his counsel, but Jesus said that a greater than Solomon is here. and the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? And Jesus showed that to perfection. I don't know if you noticed there, but those characteristics, if we add them all up, there's seven characteristics, seven attributes displayed by our Lord, seven to denote the Spirit of God in him. And as his followers, we need to look at this list. We're called to examine ourselves this morning. We have to look at this list and think, well, are we exhibiting these characteristics in our lives? Are we showing true fear of the Lord in our lives? Is that motivating our actions? Are we trying to fill ourselves with God's knowledge to as much as we possibly can by absorbing his word, by thinking about it, by meditating upon it? Are we demonstrating to others the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of counsel? Not anything that we're able to do ourselves, but because of what we know and what we've learned from the examples that we have in Scripture. But Jesus displayed these characteristics fully, didn't he, brothers and sisters? And he did that throughout his mortal life. Well, let's have a further think of what happened to the branch. And keep a marker in Isaiah, and let's go to the Psalms. Let's go to Psalm chapter 80. Because he was made in the form of a man. He was born of a woman. He took on him the attributes of the servant. And in Psalm 80, we have a picture of the branch. It speaks in the first instance regarding Israel, but by extension, we can see its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 8, for example, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt and hast cast out the heathen and planted it. And of course, natural Israel, they went down to Egypt, they came out of Egypt, and our Lord and Master did the same, that he was in Egypt in those early years, and then he came up to Nazareth, where he spent much of his life. But I want us to look at verse 15, where we read, in the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch which thou madest strong for thyself. And Jesus was strong, wasn't he? That he was God's son, that he was the word made flesh, and he was strong in all of those characteristics that we've just thought about in Isaiah's prophecy. But when Jesus was made strong by his Father, what was to happen to that branch? Well, verse 16, it is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. And it's figurative language here, isn't it? But Jesus was cut down, wasn't he? That on that tree of the cross, his life was cut short. And we know that he suffered terribly, didn't he, as a sacrifice for our sins. And we need to remember these things this morning, don't we, as we break bread and drink wine. We need to think about what Jesus as the branch was prepared to do for us. But we know that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And it was all in God's plan and purpose, wasn't it? That he went into the grave. He was there for those 3 days and three nights. But the grave could not hold him. And he was raised to life again. And he spent those days on the earth. And then he ascended up into heaven from the Mount of Olives to sit at the right hand of his Father in heaven. That's what happened to the branch. But let's go to Jeremiah chapter 23, because we want to bring our thoughts to what's going to happen shortly upon this earth. Because the branch prophecies don't just speak of Jesus' first ministry, of course, but they point forward to that which is going to happen soon upon this earth. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days shall in his days Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. So here we have the branch being associated with Jesus as the king, taking on the root of David, the throne of his father David, the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus returns, that Judah will indeed be saved, won't it? That the Jews will see what they have done to Jesus, that they will look upon him who they have pierced, and that they will mourn. And the Gentiles, as we alluded to earlier, will also seek after the Lord Jesus. And so when he is established as king in Jerusalem, that we will see the embodiment of the Lord, our righteousness, here established back again. So let's then go back to Isaiah chapter 11. I know we've jumped around a little bit this morning, brothers and sisters. But the Jeremiah prophecy is a lovely stepping stone into the rest of this prophecy, because it takes us forward, doesn't it? It takes us forward to when Jesus returns as king. And this is what he's going to do. Verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And when we think about all the inequality and all the terrible fighting and the issues with the nations today, that the only answer that this world has is, of course, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus will judge with righteous judgment, and that he will bring about true peace upon the earth. Verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down, and the kid and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And here we have this vision of not only the kingdoms of men at peace, but creation itself at peace. And that can only happen by the work of the one man that we've come to remember this morning, that man who is the branch. Verse 8, and the sucking child shall play in the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And Jesus' word is going to go forth, isn't it, from Jerusalem, that everybody is going to come to a knowledge and an understanding of him, and that they will accept him in that time to come, just as we have accepted him now in our lives. So, brothers and sisters, as we now come to break bread and drink wine, let us remember the branch that was made a man, that became a servant, and who is coming again to the earth as king. And as we break bread and drink wine, let's examine our lives to his. Let's think about Jesus as the servant, and let's make sure that we have the same characteristics in our lives, that he might find us faithful and waiting for him when he returns.